This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Masha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
29 minutes to 8, and you are listening to your favourite radio station, Joy 94.9. And if you're in Sydney, you're on Sydney Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality, and gender-diverse radio station. Now, we're going to go a little bit heavy, because our next guest is welcomed with a high esteem. He's the CEO of Bullying Zero Australia Foundation, Oscar Yildiz. And if anyone is needing a supportive talk, you can call Lifeline on 131114 or the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard on 9663 2939 if you're needing a bit of a supportive chat. Now, Oscar, we had a chat with Christy in the previous segment about her book, Unbreakable, which is about teen bullying and isolation. Why are these themes so common, not just in school, but also when we get older and sometimes even in the workplace?
Look, I think it's just a pace of social media. There are so many applications that are entering into the market daily. We find that youngsters are connected to social media almost 24/7. So I think it's the good old days of having that interaction with your peers is all happening online now.
Mm. And it's almost inescapable because if you're like myself, say for example, I am on social media all the time, like all the time.
That we were just saying in the break about FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. And, you were saying, Oscar, that the kids are sleeping with their phones under their pillow, basically, which must have so many health risks associated, as well as, you know, that mental health risk of being constantly alert.
Absolutely. And the foundation encourages parents to have their children turn off their mobile phones or not even have their iPads or their laptops after 10 p.m. And one of our board members lost his son 5 years ago, Arlem Helkic, and that was as a result of, I guess, Arlem being connected all the time and having received over 300 text messages in a week. And he had over, 3,000 friends on Facebook. And the question I ask and when I do presentations is, well, out of those 3,000 friends you've got on Facebook, how many of them would really support you if you broke your leg or you were in hospital? So they're not necessarily all your friends. They're only your social media friends and not necessarily your very close friends is what I try and communicate.
Yeah, and how many of those people included in that are just there to see what you are doing?
We say often on the show about people's a real presence compared to their social media presence, and it can be, the way that you are on social media is the way that you want to be perceived, essentially.
Mm. Yeah, and it is a virtual world out there. It really is. And we're finding that kids can't disconnect, but not just youngsters, though, also even us as adults. And I say to people, why do you need to be connected all the time? Why can't you turn your mobile phone off? And why do you need to keep, responding to an email pop-up? Why can't you, if it's urgent, someone will obviously reach you, but why do you have to keep, being interrupted every 5 minutes to get to an email or a text message or have to get onto your social media and tweet and Facebook and Kick and Instagram and everything else?
So many out there. I think a key word here would be relentless. Essentially, it would be relentless. And, relentless cyberbullying is suggested as one of the main drivers between most youth suicides. What can people do if they're experiencing cyberbullying?
Well, look, we do offer a hotline, and what we do is we refer a lot of people that call us to other organisations, like you mentioned before, Dylan. And, look, we basically, through that hotline, we suggest we've just recently had. I'm just thinking of someone who just called recently who was contemplating on cutting themselves, and we were able to get police support very quickly to them, which was obviously something that I was very, very responsive in doing. But we do refer a lot of our callers on to other calls, or we make calls on their behalf and then connect them. But look, we've probably only had about 7 severe cases of that, of serious issues. But besides that, we get people, you know, I've had today a phone call from a grandmother who's got an issue with her granddaughter not being able to turn the phone off. And there are some parents out there who are literally placing, you know, the plate or the food at the door of their child's bedroom because the child just won't leave their room because they want to be doing, you know, they want to be connected to so many different applications at the one time. It's, people probably don't realise how severe and how serious it's becoming. And it is. There are some kids out there that seem to be having not only one phone now but 2 phones, and they want.
Oh wow!
And iPads, and then you've got your iPods, of course. And I ask parents why do kids as young as 7 need to have an iPad, an iPod, and even an iPhone? Why do they need 3 of those? And just yesterday, seeing a family at a restaurant, went for a coffee with my wife, and I saw four people at a table, and they all had 2 of the kids and 2 adults. They all had their smartphones out, and away they were going, text messaging. And you see that in cafes. You see people one-on-one talking for about 5 minutes, and then they go off and start text messaging and go onto their Facebook.
It's unfortunate because I think parents can use technology, specifically iPhones, as kind of a scapegoat or a means of just subduing their kids when they're in public.
That's so true. My sister bought her daughters, they're 12, but she got them tablets purely because it's a great way, you know, it's just like a little babysitter that you've got, and it's just like, okay.
It's not how you breed people. It's how you breed zombies. No.
Quality time isn't, you know, taking your children out to the park and then sitting there with your iPhone out and text messaging. Mm. Or quality time isn't going to, you know, let's say the aquarium or somewhere and just letting your kids run rampant and then you sit there and start, you know, responding to emails. Quality time is actually one-on-one, and we're not spending that good old quality time that we're used to, and hence the reason why the digital detox, it's really about raising awareness and educating, I guess, Australians about cyberbullying and the impact it's in fact having on, and I guess also social media safety. What people do is they raise money to their nominated school or their workplace or a sporting group. It can be for any organisation. And then what happens is that money stays in that organisation, and then we, hopefully, if there is a gap, hopefully there won't be, but if there is a gap, we basically meet that gap and then have our trainers deliver cyber safety training.
I actually want to know more about the digital detox. Is it something that you can do at any point, or is there a specific time frame that the digital detox is held over?
They can do it any time they want, Dylan. I mean, we want to launch it on the 21st of March, that being the National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence. Mm. We thought it would be quite appropriate to release it on that day, launch it on that day. And we've got a whole range of activities we're doing for that launch. They can do it any time. If they didn't want to do it over the 48 hours over that weekend, they could do it in a few weeks' time. And schools and organisations that want to engage in training don't necessarily have to do it, for example, this term. They can do it next semester. They can do it whenever. But it's, I guess, really acknowledging and appreciating the fact that life without social media can go on, and we want people to understand that by doing this, by pledging, they're actually committing to better using their social media. We're not asking people just to completely disconnect. Even if they reduce their level of usage, if they go away with the family for the weekend or perhaps go for a walk, or as we've got a few ads at the moment where we're asking people to take a bit of a dip or maybe cook for mum or go for a swim, whatever it is. We're saying, look, just do the things that you want to do. And I'm sure there's a lot that you have on your to-do list. So we're saying get onto that to-do list and leave all forms of social media if you can.
Damn. That's a crass response, but yeah, that's a very intuitive way to be, I think, you know. And I hear people saying a lot that, you know, they try to detox themselves and they go for too long, and then they just, you know, they burn the candle at both ends essentially, and then they just crave and binge on technology, really. I think it's good to contain this digital detox to a 48-hour time frame, because, you know, it's really controllable.
Can you do it though? That's the question.
Can you do it? Yeah, challenge accepted.
So you know, I'm happy to sponsor you $500 if you give me your phone over the weekend.
Oh wow. See, I actually love spending time without my phone, but that's another story.
Okay. The challenge is there.
On another note, what is worse in your opinion, staying silent while being bullied or retaliating?
Oh, look, I think staying silent, because words do hurt. When someone hides behind a keyboard and sends inappropriate messages, I keep telling youngsters and even adults to some extent that, you know, when you communicate via social media, you're only using a bare minimum of your communication ability, perhaps maybe even 7%. So I say, look, if you've got a difficult situation with someone, speak to them face-to-face. And I say, if you wouldn't say to them what you want to say face-to-face, then why would you write in a text message? The sinking feeling of not wanting to open that email, or that sinking feeling of not wanting to open that text message because you fear you know what the response is going to be, they're things we want people to be able to open up and not hide behind a keyboard or hide if they are being bullied, to speak up and stand up. And even bystanders have a responsibility as well. And bullying can stop in under 10 seconds if someone in fact does step in. We don't step in. It's known that Australians do not step in, and we need to. We need to be able to say, hey, your behaviour is not acceptable. We shouldn't have to tolerate that, and neither should anyone else. I don't tolerate it. Stop it.
So is there a responsibility on schools or workplaces to support or step in situations where staff or students are being bullied?
Yeah, there needs to be a clear definition also of what is bullying. So once that's been established, yes, of course. And I think schools are doing a good job to ensure that those children that are being bullied are in fact safeguarded. But I think there's a lot more work that needs to be done, in particular in social media and cyberbullying, because schools, I think, certainly have some tools there and have the resources, but I think there's more needed, and that's why we're here. But there's some fantastic work being done by a range of other organisations do too. So what we want to do is find that gap where perhaps they're not addressing and go in and respond to those. So and the foundation was formed, and people like Christy, again, you know, fantastic advocate, one of our ambassadors, for her to come up with such a great book and then donate half of the profits from that book to us is something I'm so proud of. And I'm really proud of what she's done, because she came and saw me and said, what are you thinking? I said, you know what, I think this is a great book. Let's give this a go. And everyone on our foundation are all basically volunteers. We've got a great bunch of passionate people, and our sponsors, our partners, you know, from the Essendon Football Club to the Melbourne Victory to a range of other organisations, from Lynn Fox, Essendon Fields, Lamar. I could name so many that they've been, yes, I don't know if I was allowed to do that. Dylan's going to be going, Oscar. Okay. So look, I really, really appreciate all the support we're getting so far. And we're trying to be the one-stop shop for all forms of bullying. So employees ring us, employers call us.
We're nearly out of time. Okay. Well, actually, we're almost out of time for the segment. But can you just let us know where can people find more info about Bullying Zero Australia?
Okay, www.bzaf.org.au. That's B for Bob, ZAF.org.au. Or Digital Detox. I can go on there and start donating. And there, anything over $2 is tax deductible. www.digidetox.com.au.
Excellent. Hey, we've got more of Generation Next coming up right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.